What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 2 of the Unknown Music Podcast. I am your co-host, Brian, along with...
Brandon. What's up, everybody?
Hey. We got a pretty good show for you this week. Something that we failed to cover on episode 1, which we mentioned, and we totally brushed it off. So here we are. Episode 2 is all about Alice in Chains.
Yeah. We mentioned on episode 1 that we were going to do like an April 5th thing, because that's where Cobain and Layne Staley both died, and Sean Smith is another Seattle guy now that died on that same day. But then we just talked about Nirvana for an hour and a half, so.
Can't go wrong with that, though, really.
No, I felt, looking back, I feel like we had a really good first episode. I thought everything went really well, all considering it being a first episode.
I feel so. Yeah, I feel that way, too.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Let's see. What do we got going on this week, man?
Not a whole hell of a lot. You seen any good shows this week?
What'd you say there?
What have you been listening to?
Oh, what have I been listening to? Really, honestly, about the only thing I listened to all week was Pearl Jam.
That's a good choice. That'll be a future episode for sure.
Yeah. And, I want to make sure I say the right album, because I'm terrible with remembering their album names sometimes. No Code, more specifically. I always get No Code and Yield mixed up between the two albums for some reason. I always have. No Code is basically the only album I really listen to all week. I listen to it probably 20 different times, front to back.
I have to look that one up, because I'm not sure... I don't know if I've spent a lot of time on that one.
So that was, let's see, that one was... It was the one after Vitalogy, which, like, their popularity went, like, way downhill after Vitalogy and when No Code came out 2 years later. I'll just go down the tracks real quick, because to me they're all fucking classics. Sometimes, Hail Hail, Who You Are was the lead single off of this album. In My Tree, Smile, Off He Goes, Habit, Red Mosquito, Lugan, Present Tense, Mankind, I'm Open, and Around the Bend. I don't know why I felt the need to read off all the songs there, but I think Present Tense is like one of my top 5 Pearl Jam songs. I love that song.
Yeah, I like Hail Hail and Who You Are. Those are good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one that, like, when it came out, like, my... like interest in Pearl Jam also went down around this time. I wasn't quite as into this album as I was their first 3, but later on I've kind of gone back to it, and it's one of my favorite ones now. But for some reason that was the one that just clicked with me this week and made me listen to it over and over and over again.
It's a good choice, sir. Good choice.
What about you? What are you listening to?
I've been listening to the new Nirvana live album.
Oh,
live at the Paramount.
I have
it's
not checked
really,
that out
really
yet.
Good so far.
Nice.
It's really good so far from what I've heard.
Heck yeah. How long is it? Is it just like a normal, like, 15 songs or so-ish?
I believe so.
Gotcha.
Let me look.
Is it one... It's one live show. It's not like a compilation live album or anything?
Right.
Cool. That's how the Live Tonight sold out one was. It was a compilation album. And I always like it better when it's just a regular show.
It's got 19 songs on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Got some good ones.
What year was that recorded, do you know?
That was recorded... 91.
Okay, so nothing from In Utero then?
No.
Okay. Cool.
It's got some Bleach stuff on it. Some B-sides. Endless Nameless is on the Year's the End.
Nice.
Yeah. Starts off with Jesus Doesn't Want Me for a Sunbeam, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is a weird opening song.
It's weird hearing it electric, because I'm used to hearing it from the Unplugged album, acoustic.
Right. I'll check that out for sure.
Pretty cool.
Cool. I should have bought that on Record Store Day, and I totally dropped the ball. I didn't have enough money to buy everything I wanted on Record Store Day. I never do. But that and the Crow soundtrack, and more especially the Crow soundtrack, I'm pretty bummed that I missed out on that one.
Are you able to maybe go back and get it another day, or
it's all sold out now.
Damn.
Let's see. Yeah, and I'm not gonna pay $100 for it on eBay. Fuck that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Nope, I won't go that route. I missed out. It is what it is. Yeah. What about let's see, anything else? Wait, what did you say you were listening to this week? Oh, the Nirvana Live album. That's what we just talked about. Anything else?
That's about it, man. Right. Just more Caius.
Mm-hmm. Still more Caius, so. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right on. What do you listen to, like, at work? Like, do you, I asked you the other day, like, with your new job, can you still, like, have the headphones in and stuff? Do you have, like, a work playlist or anything, like, in specific that you like to listen to, like, while you're working?
No, not really. Just whatever's, I just shuffle it more or less.
Mm-hmm. On Spotify?
Listen to podcasts a lot.
Yeah. Do you use Spotify predominantly for your work?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. See, I use Pandora at work because I like the variety instead of just like one band. And everybody else that works there has to listen to it too. So I have to like kind of accommodate what they want to listen to a point. And I got on a big oldies kick at work this week. Like everybody was getting mad at me because I listened to too much oldies, which is stupid because they get mad at me when I listen to crazy music too. But then I turn on fucking oldies, and after a while they're like, okay, we've had our fill of oldies, but I was thoroughly enjoying it this week.
Can't win them all.
Yeah, I learned that the oldies station on Pandora is better than the oldies station on Amazon. Amazon, like, I don't know. I don't know what their definition of oldies is, but it's not what mine is, I guess.
Yeah, the way they shuffle their songs is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Spotify's radio sucks too. Like, it's not radio, it's just a playlist.
Like, it's horrible.
Yeah, like you click on like Pearl Jam Radio and it pulls up like a list of songs and it's like a 2.5 hour long playlist and that's all it is. That's not fucking radio, that's just a playlist. Mm-hmm. That's why I
still use Pandora. The way they shuffle their songs is garbage too.
Yes, it definitely is. It makes no sense that I click shuffle on Pearl Jam. And Spotify has every single fucking Pearl Jam song right there that I can click on. But if I hit shuffle, it's only going to play, like, the 5 most popular songs. And then it even starts to repeat itself, like, soon thereafter. Mm-hmm. How awful. It's so terrible. Why can't it just shuffle through all the fucking Pearl Jam songs?
I did that once with Metallica. I was listening to it at work, and it kept playing... I had it on shuffle, and it kept playing the same live album, which I don't... Personally, I'm not a huge fan of live albums, and it just kept playing this live album. Like, it played 2 or 3 at a time from that, and then it shift to something else, and then it started playing that again. I'm like, are you kidding me? Stop.
Gotcha.
It's annoying.
It is. I feel like out of all of the different radio options, Pandora is still the best. I hate the commercials. I mean, they play the same shit over and over, too, but... I like on Pandora that you can combine and mix stations up. Like, I can shuffle, cool. I can hit shuffle on the stations, but I can specify which stations I want to shuffle. So I can put on, like, Metallica, Pearl Jam, Guns N' Roses, and Nirvana, like, because that's the type that I want to hear today. You can't do that with any of the other ones. Spotify took that feature away. You used to be able to create a playlist that would have like that stuff in it, and then you could start a radio station from that playlist and it would pull everything from it, but that's a feature that they fucking took away with the last update.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But if you want to listen to an album front to back, Spotify is the way to go. I don't know why we just analyzed all of the music streaming platforms. Oh well, it's a music podcast, so I guess that works.
That's true.
How about Tidal? Let's get Tidal in there. Nobody has Tidal, do they?
What's Tidal?
T-I-D-A-L. It's the one that's like Jay-Z and something. And it's like Neil Young owns it, and it's super duper high quality because everything else is so terrible quality and all that good shit.
I totally forgot about that. I know, then that's a no for me because I've never used it.
If anybody uses Tidal, it's Smoothie. Because he's just weird like that sometimes. Right on. Anything else for this week? Yesterday was April 20th, so that calls for a certain type of music to be played, usually. I listen to Pink Floyd and Sleep all day long, which is pretty fitting.
Nice.
And last night I went to Bogart's, one of the venues here in Cincinnati, to see Pink Droid. They are obviously a Pink Floyd cover band. They were awesome. They played The Wall from front to back because it's the 40-year anniversary of The Wall. It was cool. Honestly, I wish it would have just been like a regular show and it would have been like a greatest hits Pink Floyd show instead of The Wall front to back, just because I think that would have been a little bit more fun, I think. Mm-hmm. But it was still awesome. Like, they did a really, really, really good job. They had a cool stage setup. They sounded perfect. The guy that was imitating Roger Waters, like, I mean, he was perfect. He sounded just dead on him. It was super cool.
Awesome.
And it was, I think, the worst crowd I've ever experienced at Bogart's in my life. Everybody talked, like, just openly, like, just... Everybody was just there, like, hanging out with their friends getting drunk. Like, it was just a bar. And, like, there's a lot of downtime in The Wall. So, like, there's these slower, like, quieter songs. And, like, you could barely even hear the band because of how loud the crowd was. And I've learned over the last couple shows that I've been to at Bogart's, like, that's becoming more of, like, the regular thing. These kind of cover band shows... They give tickets away to all of them, and they're really just trying to get people in the door so that they spend money on drinks, and it makes it for just a very different environment. Like, you're not there, most people's not there to, like, just see the show. They're there to, like, hang out with their friends and get drunk, and this show is just, like, music playing on the radio almost. It's weird. It was very annoying. Like, there's parts of The Wall that are super quiet, but, like, those are some of the best parts of the album. And, like, you can't even hear them talk. It was stupid. It was very disappointing because of that. But it was still a very enjoyable show, though.
It's good.
You can't go wrong with seeing a Pink Floyd show on 420. That's win-win in my book.
There you go.
And one more thing I wanted to bring up, and I'll stop babbling about concerts... is that tomorrow, from when we're recording this on April 22nd, will be 20 years since I went and saw Marilyn Manson in concert. I'm not going to go through the story. You know the story, right?
Yes.
Everybody, okay.
I believe so.
All right. So I don't really want to go through the story again on here, but all my friends know the story. But I don't. What happened was I don't remember very much of the concert at all. The only part I remember of the concert... is the big light bulbs on the back of the stage flashing words, and it said drugs, and it said, and just kept flashing drugs, 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 and that is the one and only part of the concert that I remember. So we'll leave that at that. But I can
no pressure or anything.
I cannot believe it's been 20 years since that happened. That blows my mind a little bit. That was 2 days after Columbine happened.
Oh my God.
And everybody knows that Marilyn Manson was the cause of Columbine. The media made that very, very clear. So when we saw him, like, 2 days after Columbine, like, everybody fucking hated Marilyn Manson. And there was protesters and all this crazy shit trying to get the show shut down. And I remember the protesters before the show, but I don't remember anything after that.
That's I wonder why that is.
Yep. And then I saw Manson again, finally, a few years ago, and actually remembered it. And it was pretty awful. It wasn't very good. Have you ever seen him before?
Not live.
No.
Today is National Surprise Drug Test Day.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. I had the day off work today, so that's good.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Easter. Did you do anything for Easter? Is Easter something you do?
Just hung out with the boy, and then I got invited over to the ex's parents' house for food, so I ate so much, it was crazy.
Yeah, Easter is fun again now that Liz's sisters have little kids, so now we can, like, do the Easter egg hunt with them again, so that's cool.
Yeah, well, I helped with that up there today.
Gotcha.
With the little kids, and then big kids went out into the big field, and they did their thing.
Right.
So...
All right, man. Let's talk about Alice in Chains.
Let's do it. So we're back here with the Unknown... it was called the Unknown Wrestling Podcast.
Fuck it.
were talking about wrestling during the break, and yeah, I got sidetracked.
That's funny.
ADHD is a bitch, let me tell you. Welcome back to the Unknown Music Podcast.
There it is.
And our focus today is Allison Chains.
It's funny, this is the music podcast, but every time we like end a segment and like we talk amongst ourselves between the segments, so far tonight it's all been wrestling. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? But here we are doing a music podcast and not a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
So last week we kind of made a joke about telling Nirvana's backstory. And then I was like, maybe we should actually kind of tell the backstory. But I think it's kind of fitting that we just joked about it on the Nirvana episode. So I pulled up the bio for Alice in Chains on Spotify. And they were founded in 1987, and their debut album was released in 1990, Facelift, which was before Nevermind. So just thinking about how that goes, that was about a year beforehand. And that Alice in Chains was kind of more metal than the other ones that were in this genre, that Jerry Cantrell and Layne Staley both came from metal bands prior to the formation of Alice in Chains in 1987. And I think that's very apparent. They were definitely one of the heavier acts, but then they were also one of the like more acoustic acts as well.
True.
So all right, so you start with your beginning of Alice in Chains.
I didn't get into Alice in Chains. I think the first time I heard from Alice in Chains was from Jar of Flies. It was I Stay Away, because I saw the video for it and I was like blown away how good it was.
Gotcha. Man, you got
and then
into,
I
like,
went back and
you got into everything late.
I know.
That's so weird to me, because I just always figured you got into it all at the same time that like everybody else did.
Now, Jar of Flies came out after Dirt, correct?
Correct.
Or before Dirt.
After Dirt? Let's see, I've got Spotify pulled up here for this specific reason. Let's see. Oh, that's good radio right there. We're just looking shit up. Oh man. Sap was 92. That's not what we were looking for. Oh god, I ended up at the very bottom of the list. Facelift 1990. Dirt 1992. Jar of Flies 1994. Self-titled 1995.
Okay.
So that's the timeline of Alice in Chains. So even though you didn't get into them until towards the end, really, the back half of their career, let's start at the beginning and Facelift. You're very familiar with Facelift. I know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's,
I love Facelift.
What's your thoughts on Facelift as compared to the other ones? You like it as much? Not so much? What do you think?
Layne's vocals are very, very, very excellent in that album.
Definitely.
I will go on record right now as to say that he is probably my most favorite singer of anybody.
Can't argue that, man. I mean, just one of the most unique voices, and just so fucking powerful. Jesus Christ, so fucking powerful. Like Chris Cornell type powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And and I mean, I guess a little bit later on from where we're talking about from now, but like later on, like his voice, like you could just hear the fucking pain in his voice, which is what made the songs as great as they were. And I guess that's really not just later on. I guess that's in the very beginning, really, with shit like We Die Young and Sea of Sorrow, Bleed the Freak, like all of that's fucking painful, really. So their first big hit was off this album. Man in the Box is the one that everybody has heard about a billion and a half times. One of the ones that I'm like, oh, I'm tired of hearing this song at this point. But a fucking fantastic song. Killer, killer song.
I love that song so much.
Let's cross-reference that to wrestling. That was Tommy Dreamer's entrance, right?
Yes.
ECW, Tommy Dreamer entrance was Man
in the Box. Now who's doing it?
Say what?
I said, now who's doing it?
Yeah, fuck it. We might as well. I mean, why not? yeah, I remember having the tape of this when I was a kid. But time frame wise, like it couldn't have been right when it came out. Like I can't, because this was a year before Nevermind, and I mean that's like I remember getting into like Nevermind and Pearl Jam and shit like all like right at the same time. But I can't imagine that I got into Alice in Chains a year before I got into Nirvana. Like that feels like that's maybe not how it went, but I don't know for sure, because 1990, I was only 9 years old, and I don't think I was quite listening to rock and roll yet, but I think I was within the next year, though.
Gotcha.
So that one's not for sure for me. I don't remember exactly when I heard Alice in Chains for the first time. But it had to have been Man in the Box. But it had to have been more during the time that Nirvana started changing everything, really.
I mean, it kind of makes sense because Nirvana kind of led that charge as far as Seattle grunge
definitely
movement. Because, I mean, chances are, and this is my own opinion, mm-hmm. but if you didn't hear Nirvana, mm-hmm. you didn't hear Soundgarden or Alice in Chains or...
Definitely.
You know, I feel like they led the charge in that way.
Absolutely, they did.
I'm the same way. I heard Nirvana, and then I was like, okay, there's Alice in Chains, mm-hmm. and then there's Soundgarden, and blown away.
Yeah. And then every band from Seattle became our favorite bands. I remember, I think one of the earliest Alice in Chains memories I have was going to the video store that I went to where I grew up. And the girl that was always working there, she was like, she always had stuff on the VCR behind the counter. And like, she was just like watching, like that was just her own personal, like what she was watching during the day while she was working. And I remember seeing the Facelift Live VHS that was released way back when. It was a black and white concert video. And I remember her watching that, and I remember it catching my eye, and I remember finally asking her what it was, and she said it was Alice in Chains Facelift Live, and I said, can I rent that? And she said no, because it was like her own personal copy. It wasn't something that the video store like actually had. So, I don't know. That's just something I've always remembered about Alice in Chains and the girl that wouldn't let me rent the video at the video store.
What a bitch.
Yeah. I remember I rented it later from... maybe Blockbuster, actually. And I remember copying the tape, and I had my own copy of it after a while. So, fuck her.
In your face.
Yeah, dumb.
I want to see this now, because I think I've heard of it, but
gotcha.
I don't think I've watched it.
It's probably on the YouTubes.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
So then came Dirt. And I think as big of a hit as Man in the Box was... as far as albums go, I think Dirt was a way bigger hit than Facelift was, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I listened to Dirt like crazy.
Yeah. And you want to talk about cool album artwork. The cover for Dirt is one of the coolest album covers just ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. I mean, not that Facelift is bad by any means, but Dirt is just so cool. And have you seen the? I'm sure you have. I think I linked you one day. Pictures.
Yeah, I had it for my wallpaper on my phone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was like behind the scene pictures of the photo shoot for the cover of Dirt. Yeah, cool. And yeah. I thought that was just so cool.
I might have to put that as my wallpaper again.
There you go. So Dirt, I mean, from front to back, literally from the second it starts till it ends is 10 out of 10, perfect album. Dumb Bones. I don't want to go down the list again. but why not? I mean, it's a great album.
Yeah. My friend Scott had Dirt, and then he went and got Facelift.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to go back and touch on that, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played the shit out of Dirt.
Yeah.
It was just, it's such a great, great album.
Yep. I can't remember if I had the tape. I guess I had the tape of Dirt. I don't think I was buying CDs at that point. Had to have been the tape.
I had all of them at one point. thanks to Columbia House that I never paid for.
Oh,
but
man, Columbia House. Now, that's something fun to talk about on a music podcast. Jesus Christ.
10 CDs for a penny.
Oh, God, we ripped them off so hard. I think it still might be on my credit report. At one point, we had the 12 CDs for a penny shipped to my buddy's dog.
That's awesome.
We used my buddy's dog's name, and it actually came, like, it said Jamaica right there on the fucking shipping label so that we could get more free CDs.
That's fantastic.
Oh, that was a good time.
We wouldn't be able to do that now, though, because they're going to see your social security number, and yeah.
God.
That's hilarious.
I love Columbia House. We got a lot
of good
shit.
We're
going
to ship this to Spot Johnson.
It's awesome. What's your, and that was a bunch of cool videos off of, Dirt also. Actually, I don't know. Can I, the Rooster video, that's what I was thinking of. The Rooster video was very cool. An Angry Chair. Angry Chair was on a soundtrack also. Last Action Hero soundtrack, maybe?
No, that was,
that was Megadeth, Angry
What the
Again.
Hell Have I?
Oh, okay.
What the Hell Have I?
Gotcha.
And then they did Died, I think, is the other song?
I think Angry Chair was on a soundtrack somewhere.
I'm looking it up.
All right. I might be wrong. But Angry Chair was always one of my favorite songs off of that album. That's a really damn good song.
Absolutely.
Did you figure it out?
I'm looking.
Ah, the Unknown Music Podcast, where we just look shit up and read it off to you. One day we'll do our homework before the episode starts.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. We're only on episode 2, people. Fuck off.
Hey, we've already beat the Unknown Wrestling Podcast.
Fuck yeah, man. Well, this ain't posted yet. Wait till it's posted until we can celebrate that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Keep talking. I'll have to come back to
it. Yeah, whatever. It's no big deal. It's not going to change anything about anything. You know, there was one song that, like, took me, like, years to, like, kind of really get into. Like, it wasn't one of the songs that I was into back then, but now it is Rain When I Die. Like, that, for some reason, like, that wasn't a song that I was super into back in 1992. But now it's one of my favorite Alice in Chains songs now.
Looks like it's on Doom 2,
oh.
The video game.
Gotcha. Definitely wouldn't have been what I was thinking of then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool. Well, we got that out of the way.
Yeah, definitely. So then that was there anything else you wanted to touch on Dirt?
I think I have to go back and change my list because I left the song off.
Okay. Well, you still got a few
that
minutes
I really,
till we
really
get there.
Love.
Would you say that Dirt is your favorite album of them, of Alice in Chains?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
For sure.
Definitely. Yep. Although the one that came after it is pretty damn close for me, but with it only being an EP, it kind of changes the way you rank albums, I guess, or the way I rank albums, I guess. But Jar of Flies was the next one, 1994, and that was kind of like a stripped down, more acoustic sounding album. And I thought I still to this day think it's like one of the most beautiful albums ever made.
Absolutely.
I love it so, so much.
That's, like I said, that's where I got turned on to them.
Yeah.
I heard I Stay Away and I was like, oh my God.
God damn, I Stay Away is just, fuck, it blows you away every fucking time you hear it.
And then you got Nutshell, which I don't know.
Yeah.
That song just.
Fuck yeah.
Messes with you.
Absolutely. Fuck yeah, it does. I think
his vocals are so powerful on this.
And not just his vocals, not just Lane Staley's vocals, but Jerry Cantrell's vocals too. That was so much more like harmonizing between the two of them on this. Not that they didn't do it on every other album also, but I feel like it really shined on this album. Like I feel like as killer of a performance that Lane Staley gave on this album, like Jerry Cantrell's vocals performance was out of this world on this album too. They sound so good together.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Jerry Cantrell doesn't get enough credit for that.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's why even with a new singer now that they can like still sound good because he's still there doing all of his parts that he had done originally.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he really had some killer vocal harmonies and whatnot on this album especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Favorite songs off this album or anything like that? I mean, I Stay Away was definitely one of the main ones. I could make a top five Alice in Chains songs off and include like three songs off of this album with no problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yes, sir. So that was when you got into them. That was 94. I also have an idea for an episode for us to do one of these days is the 1994 episode. Because if you look at the list of music that came out in 1994, 1994 might have been the best year of music ever. And it's
I probably have to second that.
Yeah, and there's just as far as like the popular music and like the alternative music, like 94 was the fucking year, and we'll get into that one of these days, I hope.
Yeah, I remember watching the I Stay Away video, and I'm like, man, I was talking to my buddy, and I was like, man, these guys are really, really good. And I was like, but are they all just acoustic? Because I didn't know anything about Dirt or Facelift. And he's like, no. He's like, I got their other album, Dirt. And I'm like, he played Dirt for me. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so awesome. And I just fell in love ever since.
Oh, yeah. And since I've known you, like, I know Alice in Chains is definitely, like, one of your very top favorite bands, probably Nirvana. And if I had to answer somebody like, what's his two favorite bands, I would probably say Nirvana and Alice in Chains, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our first two episodes, so that works out pretty good.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and throw out there real quick before we continue on with this conversation. Episode 3 of the Unknown Music Podcast is going to be the Metallica episode. They're one of the most important bands, I think, in both of our musical upbringings. So that'll be a fun one. That was my first live concert was Metallica, so that'll be fun to talk about. So next week, episode 3 will be the Metallica episode. So tune in for that.
We'll do our research more before the show then, too.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. We'll just wing it.
That's
fuck it. Yeah.
All right, Jarflaws, fantastic album. And then up next was only a year later in 95.
We forgot.
What did we forget?
We forgot Sap.
Sap.
If we're going to talk about EPs.
Yeah, my bad. So Sap was in 92. I got to scroll way the hell back. Oh, there it is. Sap was 92, and that was a 4-song EP that one of these songs ends up on my top 5 at the end of the list, so... Yeah, I mean, it's a good 4-song EP for sure.
That's the one with Chris Cornell on it,
I believe.
Brother, is that the one?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And that one was a little more acoustic also, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they kind of went for the acoustic EP thing.
It's kind of, they kind of alternated back and forth.
Yeah, that's super cool. Dirt and then Sap, yeah, that's awesome.
So,
all right, after that became their last studio album, unfortunately. Well, with Lane Staley, there's more studio albums to come, and I guess we'll get there in a minute. But 1995 was their self-titled album, Alice in Chains, that had the three-legged dog on the cover. So some people like to call this album Tripod. I remember... really cranking this album in my buddy's car. So this was 95. So I was 4. That makes perfect sense. I was 14 at this time, and I started hanging out with my buddy Larry at this time, who was 16. So I had somebody to drive around with at this point in my life. And at this point, our soundtrack, like the earliest soundtrack to driving around that I remember, is this album and Butthole Surfer's Electric Larryland. Those were like the two albums that were just constant at this point in my life.
Good choices.
And this album was heavy as hell. There was a lot of really heavy fucking songs on this album.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Grind was the lead single off of this one. Sludge Factory. Oh man, I would love to insert right here into this one of the drunk videos that you and I have of when we were jamming one night and we were playing Sludge Factory. I should put that in like right here, but I won't. But that was fucking great.
I totally had forgotten about that.
I got the guitar riff. I got the darn out, darn. And then you very drunkenly have the. I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to attempt it, but that does exist. Or no, I'm sorry. Was Grind the lead single off of this, or was Again the lead single off of this?
I think it was Grind, and then it was Again. I think that's how that worked.
Gotcha.
I remember Grind being the lead single, okay, for sure.
Gotcha.
And I think Again followed it.
And then Heaven Beside and You then, was big hit off of it, too. Not so much of the heavy one, but one of my favorite.
Over Now is a good one.
Which one?
Over Now.
Yes. That one did not get put on my top five that we'll get to, but that's definitely honorable mention. I was trying to figure out if I should take off a song to include that.
I love that album. Mm-hmm. It's not as good to me as Dirt was. Yep.
It didn't stand the test of time for me. Like I jammed it when it came out really, really hard, but like now it's very rare that I go to that album to listen to.
I'll never forget my buddy, we had this store down in town called Poppy's. It was kind of like a Blockbuster.
Okay.
And he bought that Alice in Chains album. It was the jewel case was like bright neon green. Mm-hmm. It was so cool.
Yes.
It was so awesome.
Yes, the jewel case was awesome for that album, definitely. Oh man. That was like
they had like a Cool's black didn't they have a black and white cover of the dog too?
Yeah.
Besides the colored one?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think that's one he had.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe the cover of it was black and white once you pulled the booklet out, and then the CD case is what gave it the yellow tint.
I gotcha.
I think that's how that went. It's been so long since I've even held a fucking CD for that matter, but...
Yeah, it's true.
That was definitely a cool packaged CD, definitely. I forgot about the tinted case. That was awesome.
I still have a few CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one.
Yeah, that's the Electric Citizen one. Is the one that's always in your car. When every time you turn on your car, I hear that for like 2 seconds before you switch over to the Bluetooth.
There's another one.
Another Electric Citizen.
Yeah. Well, right now it's Psycho Stick's in the CD player, but
right on.
Anyways,
yeah. Psycho Stick concert this coming up. We gotta get tickets for that too.
Yes, $12. So that's not too bad.
I might make Tyler go. So
I think he'd like that a lot.
I think he would hate that a lot.
Oh, okay.
Tyler hates metal a lot. He's not a metal fan of anything metal. Tyler's not really a fan of.
But they're comedy.
But
so
they're
I think
comedy.
He'd appreciate
so there's that.
That.
And there, the main thing is that when you and I went to the last one, I saw a family there that we knew, like, from this town. I think I pointed them out to you. I was like, oh, I know those guys. Like, they're parents of kids that go to school with my kids. So now Tyler is friends with the kid that was at the Psycho Stick concert.
Gotcha.
So I'm like, I told Tyler, I was like, this band Psycho Stick, I was like, I know you don't really know anything about them. I was like, but your buddy is into them, and we saw him at the last show. So he's going to be at this next one, too. So now you should go with us so we can throw you in the pit and you can have fun at a metal show. So I might drag him along to Psycho Stick.
The slow motion mosh pit?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Or you can get the sombrero and...
I'm looking forward to seeing them we'll again. That was a really fun show.
Yes. They never fail to disappoint.
And we'll see...
Anyways.
We'll see Zelm and Green Jello within like a week of each other or something like that, I think, right?
That's true,
which is exactly what happened the last time we saw Psycho Stick. We saw Green Jello like a week later, a couple days later. Yeah.
That's true.
Cool, man. Back on topic. So that was the last Alice in Chains actual album. And then the next thing that they released was Unplugged, which was amazing.
Absolutely.
They hadn't played a live show in a while, I guess, at that point. They make a joke about that during the episode of Unplugged.
Yes. The song Sludge Factory they did on there, he flubbed up the lyrics and he says, "Fuck!" And then they had to like start all over.
That's pretty cool.
So that was pretty funny.
So this one was, because I mean, they've had some experience with acoustic stuff because of the EPs and whatnot. But then they added in some of the heavier songs and made them acoustic, and they all sounded great. And the
absolutely.
I mean, it's very, very similar to the Nirvana Unplugged story, because this was kind of the last thing that we got from Lane Staley as well, was the Alice in Chains Unplugged. It was kind of his swan song, and it might be, just like it was Cobain's, it might be his best vocal performance that he ever gave was at the Unplugged show.
But you can tell when you watch it that the drugs got to him.
He's half
really
dead.
Frail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks...
His eyes were all red.
Yeah.
And
he looks terrible. He looked just awful.
So thin. Like,
yeah. But that somehow added to how great the show was, because you could just hear it in his fucking voice, and I don't know. I mean, I think that just made it what it is. Mm-hmm. If he would have got up on stage and been like, "What's up, everybody?" Like, that would have been fucking weird, and it wouldn't have been the right tone for the show, I guess.
By the way, let me, we didn't mention the other two members of the band.
Yeah.
Mike Inez and Sean Kinney. Yep. Sean Kinney is a phenomenal drummer.
Absolutely. And didn't they have a second bass player?
It was Mike Starr at first.
Okay.
And then Mike Inez, I think, was the one that played with Ozzy.
Yeah.
Or maybe Mike Starr was. I don't remember.
And which one died? Mike Starr died?
Mike Starr died, okay. Yeah.
So he was a great bass player, too. I mean, the bass intro for Wood is one of the coolest bass riffs of all time. So give it up to him for that one. I mean, as long as he wrote, I don't know if he wrote the riff or if Jerry Cantrell wrote the riff or whatever. I don't know how that worked for this band, but still one of the coolest bass riffs ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The highlights of the Unplugged performance. What do you think?
Probably where he screwed up the lyric, but
yeah.
It just made it that much more like enjoyable,
yeah.
I feel, because they were just, I mean, they practiced,
yeah,
and shit, but I just felt like it, I don't know, like...
Made them more human.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
So...
It's like Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam. Like, Ed messes up, like, kind of often, like, all considering, like, he'll flub up some words and shit, but I love how Pearl Jam fans are with that. They're just like, whatever. Like, that shit happens, man. Like, fuck it. Get the next lyric right, and we're all right.
I mean, nobody, like, they didn't get booed out of the building or anything. Yeah. They were all like, yeah, mm-hmm. And, you know, and then they started over, and mm-hmm. It sounded just as fucking good.
Yeah, definitely. He nailed the parts that you nailed during your drunken rendition of it. I love the way that the show starts. They nailed the intro to that episode so much. With Nutshell, it just set the tone for the whole show, and I loved how, like, the different band members kind of came out, like, one after another, and then Lane came out and, like, sat down perfectly in time to start singing, and he got a good pop when he came out, and you get chills just thinking about it. It was so well done, and that song is just such a kick in the balls, like, one of the biggest kick in the balls songs ever. And it's just so good.
Yep. Totally.
What else?
And the lyrics are just so haunting.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Like, oh my
definitely.
God.
I once tried to start another band. This is one of the million things that I've started and never finished. There's a stupid long list of that. At one point during Howdy Inc. history, I was like, I'm going to make an album. I'm going to do it. I've always wanted to make an album, so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to record everything myself. And I kind of started on it, and I named the band Nutshell. And that was, I was an adult at this point. Like, this wasn't like when I was like 14 and stealing Nirvana lyrics. Like, I was actually competent in music playing at this point, but it never went anywhere whatsoever. But like, I made posts about it like it was going to be something, and like everybody knew that like I was making this nutshell album, but it never went anywhere.
This is news to me. I've never heard about this before. Mm-hmm.
That was before you had hooked up with the Howdy Inc., I guess.
Apparently so.
Yep.
I would have enjoyed to be part of that.
Yeah, we could do it now. Fuck, now we could do it.
Yeah, we have the equipment.
We got everything we fucking need to do it
now. We have the technology.
That's right. That's all right. Oh, you heard it here first. Nutshell's coming back, and this time it's a two-man band. That'd blow people's mind if we fucking released a Nutshell song. That'd be cool as shit. That's something to think about.
Well, you'll have to sing and play guitar, because I can't do both.
I'm
not coordinated enough.
Thanks to technology, you don't have to do both at the same time.
It's true.
But also, I fucking hate singing, so that's my biggest thing.
And that's the end of Nutshell, everybody.
Nutshell version 2 is done and over with already. Stay tuned for version 3.
Within 2 minutes of...
Version 3 is going to be mind-blowing. Oh, so yeah, that's unplugged. And then the only thing that happened in Alice in Chains after that was Layne Staley dying, unfortunately. And that was in 2001?
Not sure.
Fuck. We're terrible. That's fucking ridiculous. How do we do the Alice in Chains episode and not know the fucking time when he fucking died? 2002.
Yeah, that.
2002 is the answer to that.
I don't know why I was thinking it was earlier than that.
Yeah. Oh, I could have figured out that it was 2002 because I remember... Do you remember, like, hearing Layne Staley died? Like, just, okay, so, yeah. Like, the same way we did with Nirvana. Like, how did you, do you remember, like, how you found out Layne Staley died?
On the news. By then, I had MTV, okay, so yeah. I heard it on MTV.
Yeah. Same thing, yeah.
Kurt Loder.
Yeah. It was, I was living in my first place that me and, at that point, April... Yeah, by that point, it was my wife and I living in our first place together, and our first kid was, like, a few months old at that point. April. No, almost a year old is how old my kid was. Was a year old. My kid was a year old at that point. So that's where I was in my life. And I remember, like, hearing it the same way you did on MTV and Kurt Loder and shit. Like, I cried. Like, I was so fucking sad. I specifically remember sitting on... I went outside and sat on my front porch, smoked a bunch of cigarettes in a row, and, like, cried because Layne Staley fucking died. I was so fucking sad about it.
Yeah.
That's how it affected me. I
was pretty tore up about it, too.
Yeah. So, then later on, my second kid was born, and I named him Layne, so.
I thought that was, like, the coolest thing ever when I met you. Like, oh my god, your kid's name is Layne, and then you told me his middle name was Curtis. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And my first kid is named after a Toadies song, Tyler. That is how I named my kids, all from rock and roll references. So that's that, and then there's, And then there's a few albums with a new singer that they've released here recently. Thoughts?
I mean, if I want to be a true Alice in Chains fan, I should probably delve into them more, mm-hmm. but I don't. Yeah. The first one that they did with the new guy, I thought was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Black Gives Way to Blue.
Yeah.
But I haven't listened to much of it. After that.
Yeah. The new one that just came out, I think last year, Rainier Fog is the name of it. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking, like, oh, maybe I'll check this one out. And then I started seeing a bunch of articles about it, talking about how good it was. And I was like, all right, definitely got to check this out. So I checked it out at work one day with a guy that I work with who his all-time favorite band is Alice in Chains. So we listen to him pretty often. So we checked out the new album together one day when we were working, and it wasn't bad at all, but there was just like nothing that exciting happened. Like there was no standout song. There was no song that was like really like, this is the song, like I want to listen to this song again. Just from front to back, it was just kind of the same.
I think a lot of it is the mindset that you and I probably both
absolutely
have. It's not Lane.
It's not Lane Staley, right? So what's your thoughts on that? Just, I mean, not that our opinion really fucking matters at all. They're allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do, of course. But like, are you one of them dudes that's like, it's not Alice in Chains if it's not Lane Staley, or they should have changed their name, or what do you? What's your thoughts there?
I'm happy for them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that they're doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nothing against the new singer, but yeah, I feel that maybe if they went on as a three-piece, it would have been maybe better.
I think I read something that said that the new singer has been the singer for longer than Lane was the singer at this point. And that's fucked up. But that doesn't, like, give him the right to be, like, the main singer. So,
right,
Lane is still and always will be the main.
His name is William Goldsmith, by the way. I didn't have to research that.
Gotcha. I knew it was William. I didn't know the last name. But yeah, I'm like, you know, I can't blame a band for wanting to continue just because their fucking singer essentially killed himself, really. Like, I mean, they shouldn't have to stop playing music just because that happened to him, but at the same time, it's just like, it's not Alice in Chains without Lane Staley, so. But I've heard they're good live. I've heard that, like, the new guy does a really good job of playing the old stuff, and I'm going to go see them this summer. They're opening for Korn, I think it is, and my buddy bought tickets for me and him to go see them. So I've never seen any form of Alice in Chains live, so this will be my first time. At least I can add Alice in Chains to the list. At least that's something I'll be able to do after that show. But I'm sure it'll still be fun. I mean, I've heard nothing but good about their live shows, so.
Yeah, I might have to get a ticket for that.
Yeah, it's like $20 lawn ticket or something. I mean, Korn puts on a good show. I know that. It's a good...
Yeah, I've always wanted to see Korn, too.
It's a good nostalgia show, I guess.
Even though I've kind of fell out of...
Yeah.
Korn.
Everybody has.
I
nobody
like Korn,
gives a shit about
just...
current Korn. They're well aware of that. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't play any of their new music live. Of course they're going to do that, but they play the shit you want to hear, too.
All their new stuff sounds polished.
Yeah, it's
too
fucking
much,
terrible.
Too polished.
It's stupid.
But
they were a timepiece band. Like, you know, that mid to late 90s, like, they were the perfect sound at the perfect time for that. But that time has well passed at this point. And that genre does not, I don't feel like it holds up today as far as continuing to make new music in that genre. Like, I like throwing on some of those albums here and there to listen to them, but I don't know. That's my feeling on Korn during the Alice in Chains episode. That'd be a fun episode to do, too, because Korn was a vital part of my mid to late 90s. I could definitely do a Korn episode.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
All right, so he died. Lane Staley died. And he was like...
What?
Say that again.
What?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. So, and it was like forever until they found his dead body. Like, he laid there for a while until somebody found him. And he was like 90 something pounds or something when they found him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, he was withered away to nothing. A couple years ago, I saw a picture that was what is possibly the last known picture of Lane Staley. And it was him at a Halloween party with a couple other, like, Seattle, like, predominant Seattle rocker guys. And he looked like absolute fucking shit. Just almost unrecognizable. But the guy that took the picture from the party is like, that's 100% for sure him. But, like, it almost didn't even look the same. It was fucking sad.
You think Courtney Love had anything to do with that?
Jesus Christ. Is that a thing? Has anybody ever said that before?
No, I'm just...
We could start a whole thing there. She fucking killed everybody in Seattle that's dead. She killed Chris Cornell. It's all fucking Courtney Love's fault.
And then she got desperate and killed Hole. Jesus. And then
fucking bitch. All right, let's move on here. What did we say? We said that Dirt is our favorite album cover. That was the next thing that we wanted to cover, was our favorite album cover. And we both agree that Dirt wins that one. Mm-hmm. So let's get into our top five Alice in Chains songs. You went first last week. So here's what I wanted to do last week. I wanted to go back and forth, like you say one, I say one, until we finish out our list, and then you just kind of gave your five and I gave my five. Do you have a preference of how we do this?
Let's try alternating it this time and see how it goes.
I'm looking at your list for the first time now. So our first song is the same on our list. So my first song is Wood.
Okay.
What's your first song?
Let's see what I wrote.
You wrote Wood. I'm looking at your list. We both have Wood as our first song.
Yeah.
So I loved Wood, like you said, from not only on Dirt, but even more especially the singles soundtrack. Did you have that one back in the day?
No.
Do you remember the movie Singles?
I remember. I don't believe I've watched it.
So fuck the movie, but the soundtrack was like a who's who of Seattle at that point. It had Pearl Jam and Mudhoney, and it had Chris Cornell's Seasons on there, and it had Alice in Chains' Wood, and it was on the single soundtrack before it was on Dirt, and I thought it was still. I think it's my favorite Alice in Chains song.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, that bass line in the beginning is just awesome.
Oh yeah, it is.
And then the lyrics and the vocals. And,
Perfect song. The way it ends, the "if I could," it's such a powerful ending to the song. Such a just a hard rocking song from beginning to end. So good.
Absolutely.
All right, next up on my list, I had from the first album, I had "Bleed the Freak." That was the one that I was always my favorite off of Facelift.
It's a good one. I had Sludge Factory off of the self-titled album.
That's another one that and it's an easy riff. Like, it's like one of the easiest things in the world to play on the guitar. It's in drop D, and it just sounds so fucking cool.
And apparently I get drunk and sing along to it miserably.
Yep.
But, you know, that's besides the point. Yeah.
I might need to find that video. It's somewhere on this computer. I know where the folder is. It's in the folder.
No, you don't.
But
this is me doing the Jedi mind trick. No, you know. You don't know where the file is.
I don't know where that is.
You lost the file. It got deleted when you switched the computers.
Fuck off. Don't bring that back up.
Damn it. That doesn't work.
All right.
What's your... Oh, wait. You had Bleed the Freak. Yep. Okay.
My next one was one that I mentioned earlier that I wasn't that into when it first came out, but now Rain When I Die is one of my favorite Alice in Chains songs. Love that song.
It's a good one. I had from Facelift, I had Love, Hate, Love.
Nice.
Again, the vocals on that song are so fucking good. Yeah. He just gets so into it. I don't know. Anyway.
My
number four.
My next one, I don't know if I want to say it's the one from Jar of Flies or if it's the one from Unplugged, but No Excuses is my next one. Probably the Unplugged version, to be honest with you. That one just, it reminds me of my buddy Lee, like back when we were like hanging out and like all the cool, like, I don't know, that was the song that like him and I like bonded over, basically. And him and I have like drunkenly duet sang that together a few occasions. So it's one of the, that's
can we find the video for that one?
Yeah, I mean there is that somewhere as well.
I love the drums on that song.
Oh yeah, definitely. No kidding. That is great. And that's another one too where Jerry Cantrell's vocals are vital to that song.
Mm-hmm.
without Jerry Cantrell. Yeah. Like, if he didn't have backing vocals on that song, it wouldn't sound what it sounds like at all.
I agree.
All right, what you got?
My number four is also on, well, it's on Jar of Flies. I had Nutshell. Mm-hmm. That song is just, oof.
Yep.
That's all I got to say about it.
Yep, that's all there you really can say about that. It's one of the most depressing songs ever made.
But again, like, his lyrics and his vocals are just, yeah, ugh,
definitely.
God damn it.
Especially the unplugged version.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my last one is Got Me Wrong, which was from the Sap EP. That was another kind of more acoustic one. Great vocals on that one as well. Like, not like one of the haunting vocals that he is so good at doing, but still great regardless.
Absolutely.
And it was on the Clerks soundtrack, which made it fun.
I keep saying absolutely a lot today. I don't know why.
Absolutely.
And my last one I had was Rooster.
Nice. So let's see, out of the 10 songs that we just went through, that was the only one that was a single, I think.
Rooster?
Yeah.
And then I got thinking, I'm like, so, all right, how about we do this? We do 3 honorable mentions?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. My first honorable mention is Damn That River, because I played the shit out of that song after, really, like, a lot.
Let's see.
You?
I don't know, just do your 3 and then I'll do my 3.
Okay. Man in the Box, because, you know, the song just kicks ass. And the video is super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have to say Again off the self-titled album, because that riff is just awesome.
Oh, yeah, it is. Nutshell, Over Now.
Good one.
Now,
do you like the studio one or the unplugged one?
That's a hard one as well.
They're both really good.
Here. Oh, yeah. So that's what I was thinking. The Last Action Hero soundtrack just popped up on my Spotify. and it was Megadeth, Angry Again. That's what I was thinking about on the Last Action Hero soundtrack.
That's a good song, too.
Yeah,
but that's besides the point.
We'll save that for the Megadeth episode. What would be my third? Maybe Them Bones. I'll say Them Bones.
Okay. That's a good one.
And that would be my 3... honorable mentions.
All good choices, for sure.
Hell yeah, man. So that's Alice in Chains.
Hell yeah.
So you would rank Alice in Chains like as one of your very, very top favorite bands, right?
Absolutely.
Top 2, like we said earlier. Is that realistic, like where you would put them?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I don't know, because like I said, I haven't got really into the new stuff.
Yeah, well, who cares? That shit don't fucking matter. I mean, you know,
that's a different Alice in Chains.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's not. I don't feel like you are any less of an Alice in Chains fan because you haven't checked out the post Lane Staley shit. That's.
Now, let me get your opinion on this. Do you feel that they could have been as successful or maybe more successful if they went on as a 3-piece without the new guy? Because Jerry, like we said before, Jerry Cantrell did a lot of the backing vocals. He did a lot of the main vocals.
But I think
he
needs that other voice to harmonize with for him to, like, really shine in this situation, I guess. Because, I mean, he's had his own solo albums, but...
Which are good,
they are good, but they're nowhere fucking near as good as Alice in Chains.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, No, I mean, I think having the extra singer would be beneficial.
Of course, his self-titled stuff, he had Mike Inez and Sean Kenny with him on those two. So I guess it would have been Alice in Chains as a 3-piece.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, which, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I see your point. You need somebody to harmonize mm-hmm. with.
Well, all right, man. Anything else about Alice in Chains?
They kick ass.
They do. I'm looking forward to seeing them this summer.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a ticket mm-hmm. for that.
That'll be fun.
I can say I've seen one of my favorite bands mm-hmm. live.
Yep. All right, anything else? Are we ready to wrap this up?
I think we're ready to wrap this up.
Last week we did the wrap-up as a separate little segment, but I say we just roll with it.
Okay.
So that is it for this episode, episode 2 of the Unknown Music Podcast, the Alice in Chains episode. That was fun.
It was fun.
Next week, tune in to the Metallica episode. That's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that episode. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've planned out anything beyond that, but we know that much so far.
We'll have to throw in a little special episode here and there. I mean, maybe the one after Metallica, we can do like mm-hmm. a, you know, like one of the ones that doesn't focus on a yes, specific band.
That's exactly what I was hoping for as well. Yep. Like I like the idea that you had of like the build your dream band with X amount of dollars and shit like that. Something like that would be fun to do here soon.
I agree.
But I think getting a Nirvana, Alice in Chains, and Metallica episode right off the bat is pretty kick-ass.
Mm-hmm.
So check out howdyinc.com where you can find all kinds of cool shit. Subscribe to the Unknown Podcast so that you can get these episodes as well. That's how we're setting this up for right now. If you subscribe to the Unknown Podcast, you get that and Unknown Music Podcast episodes. I don't know if that'll continue that way, but I don't think so. After we get done with a couple episodes, I think we plan on switching it out. I don't know. We'll figure that out here in a few weeks. Anything else? You can find me on the internet on Twitter and Instagram at CaptainHowdy1027.
And you can find me at Tag78 on Twitter and Instagram.
Cool, man. Anything else we want to add to this episode? Follow Howdy Inc. on Twitter. That's where most of the shit takes place. Follow Howdy Inc. on Twitter.
Howdy Inc. on
Howdy
Twitter.
Howdy Inc. on Twitter. Cool, man.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next week for the Metallica episode.